Hello everyone and welcome to the Gravel Junction podcast, your meeting place for all things bikes, adventures and the stories that follow. Your host, Shaul Detmer here with a little bonus episode. That's right, as mentioned in my previous show, I wanted to do a little recap on the inaugural Gallows Gravel Bike Race, which I was part of a couple of weeks back. Yeah, I think a lot of you would have seen, a lot of you listening would have seen all the activity going on. Social media was abuzz with footage of what was an amazing weekend. And I just thought, you know, I had such a great positive experience, a bit of a different experience, and we'll go into that in this little recap as to how I was involved. But I thought, why not sit down, go through, discuss some of the ins and outs, some of the behind-the-scenes things that was happening, and the results as well. And kind of relive the weekend, so to speak. So initially, to start off, my involvement with the weekend was a little bit unexpected, and a pleasant surprise was thrown my way when I was asked if I'd like to, inverted commas, commentate on the event, or, you know, as I like to call it, guerrilla broadcasting. For those of you that were listening or did follow along, would have seen some of my footage on the Gravel Junction podcast, Instagram story, following along with the race. Basically, Jared and Carl and Matt and the guys reached out and asked if I'd like to be involved in this way. Nothing I've ever done before. So initially I was like, okay, let's give this a go. And then on we went. I think overall, a very positive experience. I mean, I could tell from at every turn areas that the experience could be improved. But I guess that's when you do something for the first time. Everything's new and you're going to learn these things. And there was a lot of great feedback from everyone and a couple common responses and comments post-event, which I think were expected and nothing that I hadn't really thought about, to be honest. Things like coverage of the ladies' race, which ironically was actually quite a priority for us, which might not have come across that way, but behind the scenes we were certainly trying to make that a thing. But as I said previously, learning lessons along the way, things like capturing the footage in the first place, having enough people on course to do that, having mobile phone reception to upload these sort of things, all of these hurdles behind the scenes that we were discovering as they were happening. But obviously after the event, people are watching kind of going, well, this wasn't represented and that wasn't represented. And now having been on this side, I can totally understand how that looks. So it's I'm excited for the next event, which I think will hopefully be in the not too distant future, where we do something similar like this. It's just going to be such an improvement because we now have a bit of a better idea of what to expect. You know, be able to interview a few more riders, have a look at the equipment, and just, you know, as much as I've been told, apparently I have a decent voice for podcasting. Too much of my face was seen, so I get it. I have a face for podcasting as well, which I was also very aware of. I think what caught me off guard the most was just how quickly this race moved. We were doing our best to stay at the pointy end, but we just kept on being a couple steps behind. So another steep learning curve on that. And the action we did get, I think, was great and really got the message across. And I think going forward, for me personally, trying to shoot an event like that in that guerrilla style, while also trying to keep it relatively live and up to date, can be tricky, especially with a sort of the lack of reception. As I say, it might be better to sort of delay things, and then allows you the time to sort of catalog the day's events, capture it a little more order, and then upload it, because, you know, once it's on their stories, saved as a highlight, people can come back and watch it. And I would say the vast majority of people watching most likely watched it after the event anyway, so why not have a little more, slow it down, shall we say, and capture the event. But going back, I don't know, I'm repeating myself, massive learning curve overall. I think the feedback was positive. I think people were able to get something out of the experience. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I hope to do a lot more of that sort of thing. And already so many ideas down on paper for the next event of how we can improve and how we can sort of polish things. Because I think it's pretty cool to be able to do these events in South Africa and people to, you know, to jump on Instagram for now and to follow the event. An event that, you know, doesn't have events that don't have a lot of coverage other than the participants, to have some footage of the actual action, I think is, no, it's exciting. But, you know, we're not million-dollar budgets here with cameraman all over the course. We're selfie sticks and cell phones. But I think that kind of adds to it, which is the part I enjoyed. So anyway, that was my involvement with the gallows. And we made it up as we went along. And but the race itself, I mean, the event, as I said, I think in my last episode, just considering, you know, no, it wasn't a last-minute event. The guys put a lot of work in to create this event, but maybe it's the location, maybe it was the weather, maybe it was the people, or most likely a combination of all of this. It created such a wonderful atmosphere and summed up what I think gravel riding is all about. Hard day on the bike, a good community feeling around amongst the competitors and partners who weren't riding, having a location where we had, you know, I think 90 out of the 100 competitors were all staying in the same location. So that in itself created such an amazing community feeling, and allowed for, you know, you can imagine the night before, the bike checks. Let's check the gear. What are you running at? Okay, what pressure? You know, can you check my gears? Okay, let's, do you have any spare lube? Any spares in general? I forgot my bars. You know, all of this was going on the night before. A couple people were having a couple quiet beers. Nothing too crazy. You know, didn't want to overdo it. In bed by 9:30. Before, of course, the sunset, we were up at the top of the Gelgeberg climb where the race finished. We were there the night before. One of the most spectacular lookout points I think I've come across in the Western Cape. Truly, truly special, and what an amazing place to finish this race. That climb, which we will get onto, warrants its reputation. So yeah, you know, race day, the weather gods were certainly playing in our favor. We woke up, and I'm sure a lot of you saw the footage or images of that sunrise, you know, that fire red skies as competitors were running around or walking around, getting their bikes ready, having breakfast, sitting, watching this amazing scene unfold to them with those pre-race jitters. Because from the Heavens View location where most of us were staying, it was a 15, 20 minute bumpy gravel descent to the start line at Lord's Vineyard, Lord's Wine. So, you know, and 6 degrees, I think the temperature, 6 degrees Celsius. Such a chilly way to start the day. We were driving down in the media car. Thank you, Troy Malloy, for that. And there were bottles already strewn all across the road before the race had started. So I think there were a lot of nerves. Race was scheduled to start 8 a.m. Slight delay, just waiting for the ambulance because, you know, safety first. So we waited for the ambulance to arrive. But it gave everyone a good bit of time to sort of settle in and get ready for the start. We had... And we'll go into that now, some of the players that were there to ride. Some big hitters and then some even bigger hitters with the likes of Matt Beers deciding to enter the event and really, you know, adding to the level that this day was going to be ridden at. And I think it became quite clear early on the pace. So there I was running around with my selfie stick and headphones, competitors looking at, what's this guy doing, standing in the middle of the field talking to himself. And I could only imagine how it looked trying to capture the scene. Because, yeah, it was quite frenetic. And so I'd sat down the night before with Jared and Carl and Becky and basically all the media teams and Matt to go, right, discuss the route, discuss the safety, discuss the plan, where the so-called pinch points were, where the action was going to be. And that was the plan, to get to those points like the funnel, the water crossing, the graveyard, the Spekhoogte, I think I got the name right, which was the first real climb. And then, of course, the main climb at the end. So that first pinch point, which was the funnel, was about 9 kilometers, if I remember correctly. So we thought, myself and Kerry, my racing co-driver, thought we'd have enough time to get there, get settled. But, you know, we flew down the gravel road, got to the funnel, which was just on the outskirts of McGregor. And before we knew it, Carl, who was on the motorbike filming the event, came rushing past going, they're on their way, they're seconds away. So you can see some footage of... On the gravel junction, on the reels there, me running down the funnel, trying to get to this pinch point before the competitors arrive. In fact, why don't I just place a little clip in here now so you can actually hear some of the freneticness that I was talking about. Here's a little bit of that clip now.
All right, guys. Just running down. Got caught out a bit there. Guys, got a bit more ahead of the track. So we've got, they're going to be coming over that hill here. And this is that first funnel section I spoke about, where it's got a sharp bit of a single track and then a sharp switchback. So I'll quickly try and get a good view here to see if get the action. So here you can kind of see the switchback before they get back on the main road. Here we have Matt Beers just coming through now in the lead, followed by who came by quickly there. I think there was Dean Hopf. So already the guys are setting a searing pace. That's 9 kilometers in. Matt's dropping the hammer already. Dean hot on his heels, following off. Let's see the gap they have on the rest of the field.
So there you go. You can quite clearly hear a little bit out of breath on that section. And it really was. It was a fast downhill descent into this sharp hairpin switchback, sandy, you know, from hard gravel with loose stones to the sandy sort of switchback. And yeah, I would say that the first three probably had a 30-40 second lead already by that stage to the chasing group. So I can only imagine what had happened those first 9 kilometers, that is what had happened. About 2-3 kilometers on from the switch, from that the funnel, was the water point. We didn't manage to capture the footage, and those are things, again, for future reference. We'll try and get some more cameras on the field, because at the water point was always going to be at a pretty exciting spot. We had a couple wipeouts because it wasn't just water, there was mud. So I think there's some good footage along the way of one of the competitors who did manage to take a bit of mud with him along the way. So that was the first three men I mentioned there, Matt, Dean, and Reno. The ladies, a field of 15 competitors, I believe, with three really, really strong front runners there, as far as Melissa Kretzinger, Rebecca Van Aestien, and Renata Bossi, with Anya Brewer being quite close behind as well. So we'll kind of, you know, we tried our best, as we said, to send regular updates, and we had Becky out on track sending the updates as and when she could. But, you know, it just... one of those lessons we learned, trying to do too much at once, I think, whereas rather slowing it down, recording what we need to, and then collating it later on will be better for everyone, especially with the style of recording. But it became quite clear in the beginning that these three ladies were going to be the front runners, with Melissa out in front already by the stage, by the time we caught up, shall we say, at about the 20-30 kilometer mark. So moving on then, we had a bit of a confusion, myself and my co-drivers, so we fell a little bit behind, but eventually catching the race again at around the 20-25 kilometer mark, but with no sign of Matt. The rumor was, he's 3-5 minutes up the road already. So like, okay, well, let's go and catch him, try and get some footage. We then made a wrong turn and missed the one gravel turnoff, ended up on a tar road. But we thought, no, that's fine, we're actually going to meet up with the race again, this will give us time to get ahead, get settled. And lo and behold, 2-3 kilometers down this road, we see this beautiful Toyota bibs and Specialized bicycle flying down the road, going, this looks a lot like Mr. Matt Beers. We quickly then rode up alongside and informed Matt that perhaps he'd missed his turn. To his credit, he kind of went, okay, you know, I felt like doing a few extra kilometers anyway. Turned around, dropped the hammer, and headed back towards the race. This is when we then go, okay, went back to the front of the race, where there was a front group of about 15 to 20 riders. We informed them of the fact that Matt was now behind, which I think motivated some. Most people didn't believe us. And we thought, okay, let's shoot ahead to the Spekhoogte climb, which we thought would be the first real shake-up of the race, in that it was the first decent climb. I mean, I would say I didn't ride the event, but two decent climbs being Spekhoogte and of course the Gelgeberg, the final climb. And true enough, we then settled in Spekhoogte and managed to capture the race coming past. And so here's a bit of a clip of that.
Well, that did not take long for this leading bunch to get up this climb. I thought we'd have a good 10, 15 minutes. But here we go. Got Dean Hoff on the front, Tom Briggs behind him. Matt Beers has caught up already, flying up this pass. Jos, third at Swartberg. Rainer on the back. That's your leading first five.
So that was a clip from the Spekhoogter climb, right at the pointy end where I believe Dean Hoff put in an attack, followed by Matt Beers and the other three to break it into that those two leading groups of five and about 15 other riders. But even so, you could see standing there for a few more minutes that climb broke that bunch up considerably. And then I would say from that point on, you had five and about 15 riders until the start of the climb. We then shot ahead to get to what would be the next sort of action point, which was the graveyard on the outskirts of McGregor. As the name says, there's a graveyard on the outskirts with a single track, a sandy single track section for the riders to navigate. We were hoping to capture more footage of that, and something we'll definitely work on next year to make sure we get some of the action, because there's a bit of spice thrown in there with a big sandy berm you have to ride over to enter the area. But we decided, you know, we didn't want to miss the climb section, and we'll get back into that in a moment. On the ladies' side, it was very clear by that the Spekhoogter climb that there were three clear front runners in Melissa, Becky, and Renata. And so I believe at that point we had Melissa out front about 7 or 8 minutes on Becky, with a further 3-4 minutes behind was Renata. So back to the men's race. We, as I said, we shot ahead to get to the base of the climb, the Helgeberg tar section. Being a narrow road, we needed the car to be in front of all the riders. So we knew there was a group of five, Matt's leading a group of five with about 3-4 minutes back at the graveyard section was the chasing second group of 10 to 15 riders. So while waiting there at the start of the Helgeberg, over the horizon comes the single figure, the unmistakable pedaling motion of Mr. Matt Beers. And it took him about 3-4 minutes to get to us. And in that time, there was no one behind him. So clearly on that bumpy, rutted gravel section up from McGregor, he dropped the hammer and put the hurt down and put a gap in. So we then stayed in front of Matt and made our way up the climb, which was great to watch, to see somewhat of Matt's caliber just pushing out those sort of watts, the cadence, super steady. I think he stood out of his saddle twice on the 18% pitches. Stopped for water at Heaven's Gate with about 4 kilometers to go, top up his water bottles. And on he went. And yeah, as I say, ended up finishing about 5-6 minutes ahead of third place finisher Dean Hoff, followed a couple minutes back by Tom Briggs. We actually managed to catch up with Matt just after he crossed the finish line. And so here's a little clip of Matt after winning the inaugural Gallows Gravel Race.
All right, I was going to give Matt a second to catch up. How was that, Matt, winner of the inaugural Gallows Bike Race?
Yeah, that was a fantastic route. I made a mistake. I didn't check if I had my route on, and I just went straight. And then had to do a bit of a chase back.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's the norm nowadays for me, so we need to fix that. But yeah, I mean, this climb is...
Yeah, how would you describe this climb? It just seems to go on forever.
Absolutely brutal. I bonked so hard at the end. But, I mean, we're up here and there's music, there's beer, so right on.
Awesome, congratulations, mate, enjoy it.
Cheers.
And there we have Matt Beers seconds after crossing the finish line, and I was shoving a microphone in his face. But to his credit, he took about 3.5 seconds to bring his heart rate down to normal, gain composure, and give me a little sound bite there. But no, clearly Matt enjoyed the day and enjoyed all that was, the gallows represented. To kind of give you the rest of the top 10 and the men then, so Matt's time was 3 minutes, let me just double check here, 3:53. So sub 4 hours for that ride. Again, these times are on Strava. Please don't at me if they are not UCI approved. Your top 10, second place we had Dean Hopf coming across to the sounds of Britney Spears, which will be never be forgotten. Third, we had Tom Briggs. Fourth, Andreas Struder. Fifth, Rainer van Wijk. Sixth, Raul Kutzer. Seventh, Pete Pistol Carlitz. Eighth, Jono Buerta. Ninth, Enzo Grande. 10th, Henry Muller. Apologies if I butchered any names along there. So, you know, 4 hours 20 for the top 10 to come across the line. So not a big gap between the guys. So it shows you the level that everyone was riding at. And in the ladies, your top five, we had Melissa Kritzinger coming across in 4 hours 51, with Rebecca van Hastien coming across 4:57, 6 hours. So I do remember Becky making up quite a bit of time on that climb. And rounding off the podium, Renata Bossi coming in at 5 hours 18. Anya Briver coming in at 4th, and Bianca Silberbauer, again, apologies if I got the name wrong there, finishing up the top 5. So an amazing effort by the ladies, and for everyone, to be honest. That was part of the gallows experience. We were sitting up there, Jack Black beer flowing, Good Leaf drinks flowing, great music, and even though competitors were absolutely spent, a few rolled back down to Heaven's View to get showered and cleaned up. A large group of us stayed up there to cheer on every last competitor, because that kind of summed up what the event was about. Because anyone who managed to get up that climb after that day, and there were some people who I think who underestimated, shall we say, but they didn't give up. And it summed up gravel riding for me, and summed up what this event was all about, and what's going to make this event very popular moving forward. As I said in my last episode, I think there's going to be a bit of pressure on Jared and Matt and Carl to increase the numbers, and I believe that's already in the works. They've already had feedback from local businesses and communities who are thrilled to have the race there, and it's great for local business. So I look forward to seeing what the event will be in the future. So there you go. That's sort of a recap of the day's events. As I said at the top of the show, so many lessons learned from my side as far as doing this sort of broadcasting. But that said, I've already had a number of people reach out saying, you know, we got to do more of this. How about this? How about that? This event, that event. So hopefully we can lock in a few more events and bring you more coverage like this, because it's great fun to be involved with, great fun to produce and to make, and just adds to what is a growing gravel scene in South Africa. More and more people, I think we're going to find more and more international people as well as local flock to these events, because there's so much potential there. Had a great time, and hopefully all those, and congratulations to all those that finished or just who took part. And if you haven't, make a note in your calendar, follow the Gallows Bike Race on Instagram for latest news of when those tickets go live. Get yourself a ticket to the event. Next big event that hopefully going to be around for is the Cedar Bike Race. You know, another big one on the calendar. The inaugural event last year was one that was, shall we say, snow-capped. So competitors already said, after finishing the gallows, training now starts for the Cedar Race. So exciting to see what happens there. But as always, guys, thank you for the time. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed the little bonus show. If you liked it, a review, a little 5-star there would be most appreciated. It goes a long way to the show getting noticed. And thank you for the feedback. I understand there was a lot to be improved on that first broadcast. But overall, really appreciate the positive messages and comments that people sent my way. It meant a lot. It was a lot of fun for me. But to be able to do that and get that sort of feedback was obviously lovely. As always, guys, you keep riding, and we'll talk soon. Bye for now.